Welcome to Razzle Dazzle Radio. Here we are in Columbia, Maryland in this cold winter, but what better way to warm our souls than through the arts? So we're going to speak about quite a few items today, and we're going to talk about some items that have happened just recently. The Bald Ballerina concert was a blowaway, excuse the pun. It was amazing, just about a full house to support this amazing woman, and it was just completely, it warmed my soul, that's for sure. So now let's talk about some things that are coming up. Here I am with Mo and Carolyn, and what's happening here to warm our souls?
We have so much going on in Howard County right now, and since the school system had a snow day today, there are no happy theater teachers in any of the 12 high schools that we have. Nothing messes up your schedule than to not be able to rehearse after school. We have productions of Spelling Bee, Young Frankenstein, Two Josephs, Dreamcoats, Wedding Singer, Two Mary Poppins, Mystery of Edwin Drood, Pippin, and a couple of others that I couldn't find out what the schools were doing. But the high schools are abuzz right now. There are things going on musically, also art-wise and choral music-wise, but their concerts are going to be more in the May and not more in the winter. This is theater time right now, and most of the productions are going to be a week or two right before spring break. One of my pet peeves when I was teaching at Centennial was that there was not a second chance to open up schools for evening activities. Once they made the decision at 6 o'clock or 5:30 of the a.m. that day, everything was completely gone for the entire day, even if it happened to be 50 degrees and very sunny at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when evening activities could happen. So that's something that hasn't changed, and I tried for 25 years and nothing happened. Auditions we have coming up for the 49th performance of Howard County Summer Theater. They are doing Annie again. I believe this is the third time that they are doing that.
At least.
I did that the first two times as Warbucks, and they're doing it again. So we started in 1975, and Miss Templeton here on my right was one of the original Hotbox Girls, and also in Sugar, I believe, the next year, the first and second.
Oh, but no, more secrets, Mo.
That's it. They have. Yeah. Well, we must have been like three.
I think we were. Well, you know.
So they are having auditions this coming weekend, and Silhouette Stages for Big Fish the Musical, which has not been done here in Howard County. So both of those are going on. So we have a lot happening here in Howard County, let alone Baltimore and Washington, where I happened to see one of my former Centennial students that graduated in 1993 as Javert in the National Company of Les Miserables down at the National Theater in D.C. So that was really special. So that's what's happening. Of course, there's 19 other things happening as well.
And on a local level right here at the college, All That She Might Possess is happening in just another week. And this is the tale of the Cone Sisters. There's a lot of mystery and intrigue about them. And you can also see some of their possessions in the art gallery. There's a whole display of those. So come out and learn a little more about the Cone Sisters. And again, you know that they have quite a bit of their possessions at the Baltimore Museum of Art. So it's kind of a cool local connect that way. Also, there's a lot of interesting improv activities, and we're going to hear a little bit of how they're going to connect here in just a few minutes with Tim Singleton, who is going to tell us far more ways to warm our soul through the spoken word.
Hello. Thank you for having me here. I wanted to start by talking about an event that you might have all just missed. Last weekend, an organization that was brand new to me invited me to talk to them at the Howard County Conservancy, Columbia Families in Nature.
Oh, yeah.
They have a wonderful active Facebook page. They get out a couple times a month and visit our natural resources and get children outside. I had the opportunity to talk to them and do a little haiku workshop, which was very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I'm used to talking to college students.
Big
and,
people.
And I had, I think, everyone from six-year-olds up. So it was a challenge to keep attention for an hour.
Remind us what haiku is.
Well, I don't know if I can.
Is
everybody
it five,
thinks
seven,
it is.
Five?
Well, no. That's where I started this talk. Everybody learns in grade school that a haiku is a Japanese form of poetry that comes to us in 17 syllables and is about nature.
Right.
That is a very starting point. We got metaphysical. We talked about epistemology, how we understand the world, what we can do with language in terms of trying to recreate experience in someone else's mind, just as it's happened to us in the sensual world. Anyway, you'll have to come to a future workshop whenever I have one scheduled, and I can talk,
I
can talk for hours. Anyway, great people, wonderful organization. The Conservancy is one of Howard County's jewels. Make sure you get out there at least once a month. Support both organizations. This Sunday, Little Patuxent Review is launching another one of its marvelous biannual literary publications. Its magazine comes out for, what is it, the 23rd time this Sunday. And I talked to the editor. He's got about 20 of the authors in it gathered together for a reading. He says this issue is really hearty, both full and heartfelt. Some pieces revolve around the various violences that we encounter in the world and how we weather through them. It has a section of the Black Ladies Brunch Collective, whose anthology, Not Without Our Laughter, actively demonstrated how poetry and humor can be an act of resistance. That sounds fascinating. Columbia writer Susan Hobby did an interview with them in the publication. There's a lot of local writers in this issue. One of the people we're most proud about, Katie Day, who was a student on the Hoko Palitzo board, has two pieces. So she's gone from being a Howard Community College student that discovered Hoko Palitzo, said they want to volunteer, to being a published poet in a local resource. She's actually now works as a grant reviewer or something for the National Endowment for the Arts literary team. Mm-hmm. So away she goes. We knew her when.
What's the theme of this issue?
A couple of years ago, Little Patuxent Review decided to go with unthemed issues because, you know, as I'll talk about some of the submission deadlines coming up, when you're working for a theme, you may not have something, you know, on the shelf already ready to go or ready to tweak for that theme. So you have to sit down and write something new. And, you know, writers said, hey, give us a break. So we gave them a break. Every issue is curated by an editor and a team of editors, actually. So, you know, if you submit to publications, you know to read that publication, get an idea of what their story is, their, you know, that hidden narrative that is on their pages, and suit your work to that publication. That's one of the tricks to getting published.
Is this a good time to mention Mike Clark and his award?
How could I forget? Yeah. Mike Clark, who couldn't be here with us today because of the snow, he doesn't like walking in the snow as much as he used to, has recently won a Howie, or he's been awarded a Howie and will receive it, was it in March?
March 24th.
March 24th.
And guess
yes.
The man sitting over there is going to be our leader, right?
Yeehaw, I can't wait.
Oh, I'm really excited about that.
We're gonna hear
so you will be introducing Mike Clark.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, watch out. Anytime Mike Clark's lips move, you end up with a task to do. Once upon a time, Mike Clark, after a Little Patuxent Review staff meeting, volunteer staff meeting, turned to me after everyone left and said, what do you think about the idea of starting a salon series? I had no idea what he was talking about, but thought I said, if I said, okay, he would tell me about it. I said, okay. He said, good, you do the first one. And that was actually my first talk on haiku.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think that series has been going on for about 5 years now. Mm-hmm. It's a monthly presentation at the Columbia Association Art Center that features a wild range of resources, local resources, astrophysicists, poets, potters, you name it, woodturners. In January, we had the ice storm, so Laura Chavon was going to do a talk about young adult novels. That's been postponed to February 5th. If you go to the CA Art Center website, you can catch up to the rest of the schedule, but it will run through May or June of the year. It is a great series, and I was really honored to figure out what the hell it was and do the first one.
Just watch nodding your head around Mike.
Seriously, yeah. It is important to hype this art series. I've seen wonderful performances by actors. And I also saw Helen Mitchell, Dr. Mitchell. Mm-hmm. She gave a talk on religion. And it, as he said, it's all realms. Even I was invited once for a Sisterhood of the New City.
I remember that. Wow. Yeah, that was great.
So it's free, too. Free.
Yeah. Right. And to go back to Mike, completely deserved of this Howie Award. His work with, you know, he used to be a reporter at the Baltimore Sun, retired, always wants to be involved in the community, realizes that people out there are resources, and has no qualms with stepping into someone's face and getting them to do the stuff that they should be doing on behalf of the community. Mm-hmm. And part of the gift from him is this publication and all the things that, you know, are in orbit around this publication, like the Salon series. A couple of years ago, he helped create a middle school writers festival, and he hopes to bring that back, where middle school writers get together with renowned local writers. And we did this at the Howard County Arts Center, bussed in students, had them work in workshops with local writers, and then do a reading later in the afternoon. Love to see that happen again. You know, but this is all part of the magic of who Mike Clark is, and, you know, the impetus that he gives the community in making arts things happen. And this wonderful publication, which is now, I think, in its 23rd issue.
Oh, that's great. I can't wait to see him that night. That'll
you know, there's another Howie Award winner that's connected to you, Mo.
I can't wait. I want to try to flim-flam my way into getting to present that to him and give him a hug and everything. Rick Ryder, who he and I met when he was a seventh grader at Dunlaugan Middle School, my first year of teaching after getting out of the Army course. And then Rick went to Hebron for a couple of years and then graduated from Centennial High School in our first graduating class in 1979. So he's an old coot now. And he did me in because I was planning on, when I retired from teaching singing lessons, giving all my students to Rick. Well, knucklehead, he went to New York City. So, but I can't wait to see him get that award.
Am I remembering back that Rick was part of the Labor of Love series?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
He was, right. And I nominated him. And
did you really?
Yes. I want to tell you, I want to brag just a bit. I have nominated seven of the Howie winners.
Wow.
Whether it's from an old couple who used to support the arts. I forget their names now.
Pat and Steve Teller.
And then there was, of course, Eva Anderson and Rick Ryder, John Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And different people. I give 18 nominations. I think, Mo, I nominated you, too, both for performer and educator.
Yeah.
Back to the literature here.
Okay, and back to the Art Center. The Art Center has another series called Wild Readings. This is kind of incestuous. Laura Chavon, who's the Salon feature, was for January and will be on February 5th. She has created a series specifically for local writers. If you step back a little bit, Hoko Palitzo brings the world's renowned writers to local audiences. Little Patuxent Review brings regional writers and some of the more famous writers to its publication. There was a need for getting local writers the opportunity to read their works in front of other people and to have an open mic so that people starting out have an opportunity to see what a reading is like and get up there and stand in front of the mic themselves. This happens, I think it's the second Tuesday of every month through the winter months, from September through January. And it's done in partnership with Hoko Palitzo. There's some grant money and some support there. And Laura is extremely well connected. She was the editor of Little Patuxent Review a couple editors back, is incredibly connected with the local literary scene and brings in some really great people to feature, two people each month. And then there's an open mic where anyone can get up and read from their work. Linda Joy Burke, who you've had on this show before and will again, is the MC for those shows and tends to be. Next month, two poets will celebrate. It's Valentine's Week, and two poets will be Hiram LaRue and Ann Phillips. If you go to, all of these organizations have Facebook pages, Wild Readings with an E. Look up that on Facebook and you'll find the information on that. I forget the date exactly, but I think the 14th is a Wednesday? Second Tuesday of the month.
Okay.
Anyway.
I should know that. It's my son's birthday. He was born on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you should know that.
Yeah, but I won't tell how old he's going to be.
So that's like the Little Patuxent Review side of things. I've actually stepped aside as co-publisher because I was doing too many directions and I'm focusing on the literary level a little bit more on Hoko Palitzo events. Hoko Palitzo being the Howard County Poetry and Literature Society. We have our 40th annual Irish evening coming up.
Oh, let's talk about this. And we're going to go out with the show with some Irish music, I'm hoping.
Oh, good. 40 years of bringing the best of the Irish writers to Columbia, Maryland, to local audiences. We don't just stop with the poetry or prose reading. We have, these days, we have a traditional Irish band, the Narrowbacks, traditional and original music, and we have championship step dancers, local dancers from the Culkin School that, well, when you see them, you'll realize why they have won awards. They're fantastic. This year, we have a novelist, Michael McCormick, whose Solar Bones is getting all sorts of press. Just last week, a good review was in the New York Times. You know, it's winning all sorts of awards. I'm reading it right now, so I can't tell you more about it. But I've read a book of his stories fairly recently, and they're all certainly very intriguing. Kind of a cerebral writer. I'm very looking forward to hearing hearing him read in person. I'm assuming he's going to be reading from Solar Bones, the new work, which is only a single sentence.
Oh. Wow.
I dread the thought that he's going to get up to the microphone and say, I'm just going to read you one sentence, because it'll be hours.
Oh, my goodness.
So, 40 years of Irish evenings. Carolyn, I know you've been to a few. You have any favorite memories?
Seamus?
Which time?
Second time when he left, and we never saw him again after that. Yeah. He came in, his second reading. He's an Irish writer, award-winning. You tell him.
Well, Seamus Heaney is Seamus Heaney. He was the greatest living Irish writer until he died, was a year or so ago. Yeah. And, you know, his wife was joking. You know, he's so popular around the world, signed all the books that anyone brought to him. His wife was joking that if you have a book that he hasn't signed, it's much more valuable than the ones that he's autographed. very beloved poet. I've seen him a couple of times. One of the jokes about Irish evening is it takes so much work to put on. I've missed all the Irish writers over the years. I used to run the bar.
Yes, I remember that when it was in the Kittamaquandy room. Up there. He would be back there.
And this town could drink back then.
Oh, we could. Favorite moment of the Irish night was really when our former mayor of Baltimore, our governor.
He was governor at the time.
Yes, he was.
But he was a former mayor of Baltimore, Martin O'Malley.
Came with O'Malley's March? Is that what it's called?
Sure, that's it.
He sort of just jumped on stage, as I recall. It wasn't programmed.
The story, the backstory is that Colin McCann, who was the featured writer, you know, Let the Great World Spin, among other masterpieces, was the writer that year. And he was also a scriptwriter for speeches for O'Malley. And he invited O'Malley, or O'Malley came to see him do the reading. So we got security guards for the first time at Hokopolitso. The governor brought his own. But he was in the audience that evening. And then when, for the second half, the band came on, the Narrowbacks, they invited him to stage to play a few songs. And one of the treats for Irish Evening, for those of us that do put it together, is the after party where we get to wind down and have the leftover Guinness and things like that. The musicians get their instruments back out, and everybody starts singing, and O'Malley joined in.
That's great. Hmm.
Changing the subject for just a moment, let's go on to something, the Valentine's theme that we're trying to promote here. It's not really a Valentine's theme, but I use that for a transition. Reflections on Nature, Misiko Ballet Company presents this. Let me just talk a little bit about the Bald Ballerina benefit. Judy and I were sitting next to each other. And it was not only a beautiful program, but the fact that our previous guest on our last show, Maggie Kudurka, who's a 25-year-old survivor and really still going through incredible treatments for her breast cancer, stage 4 metastatic. And she was dancing. She performed, and
the first number.
And you know, and you get up there, and your heart just goes out. You don't know how to react sometimes to beautiful performances like that. You want to cheer. You want to grab her and hug her and just hope that she continues. And we've lost dancers this year, and sadly, one of my favorite who's been on the show, Eva Anderson, she passed away a few months ago. And Misiko of Misiko Ballet Company was one of her colleagues, friends, and she decided this year for her Reflections on Nature. Now, she is a Japanese woman who has danced with Rudolf Nureyev and is a classically ballet-trained performer. Yet she felt that with the African-American heritage of Eva Anderson, she could incorporate it somehow in Reflections on Nature. It's in memory of Eva Anderson. It's going to be held at the Rouse Theater February 18th at 2 p.m. So we have a little bit of time, and that if you go to her website, www.misakodance.com, you'll get more information about what she's going to present in tribute to Eva.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I will be there. And actually, Carolyn, if we can just digress for 1 second to say that the performance on Sunday, aside from everything that you have said, is amazing for how it raises money. And what happens is that money that's raised is given to dancers that have cancer to help them. And it's a direct service Thanksgiving. It's not researching something that might or could be. It is going straight to them because the devastation of finances during cancer is great, especially for dancers by virtue of how much they earn. So it's given straight to just help them in any way to rehabilitate them. So I love that, you know, that's such a great direct service to help dancers with cancer. And you can actually Google that and find ways to help, too. So
we would be remiss in not mentioning the Candlelight Concerts programs that are being held here. There's actually a children's concert on the 21st, unless it snowed out. And I hope that in the future, Mo, mm-hmm. Judy, that we can bring some folks in here.
Sure.
You know, we talked a little bit about the Howie winners. Mm-hmm. Holly Thomas and Carl were winners years ago, and of course she was very much responsible for starting mm-hmm. the Candlelight, as well as Norm Winkler and Nancy Winkler and the old timers, and it's been in existence forever and ever. And I wish I had a little bit more knowledge on the programs or a little bit more expertise. So we're going to have, instead of having a literary scholar here, we're going to have to bring in a violinist or a cellist.
You should bring in some kids, too. I'd love to hear them talk
exactly.
about the music.
Yeah, that would be a great idea.
Get that kind of event perspective from their point of view.
So what else do you have on that big list that you have?
Speaking about being remiss, I didn't say the date for Iris Evening. It's February 9th. Get your tickets, hocopolizzo.org. Hoco Palizzo also has coming up in the spring, Thursday in April, in cahoots with Howard Community College, the Blackbird Poetry Festival. It's not 10 years old yet, but it's approaching 10 years. We have the very fierce Marilyn Chin, Asian American poet, coming to campus. And she will be working in workshops with students. She'll be doing readings during the day with students and members of the public, and then there will be a reading in the evening. We're talking about Valentine's Day, special thing that Dr. Tara Hart and I are doing for the What's Improv group Valentine's performance. I think it's on the 15th.
It is. Thursday the 15th at 8 o'clock.
Tell us about that. So we're really anxious to
what
hear
improv
it.
Group
How much
is
time
probably,
do we have here, guys?
What Improv group is probably one of the better kept secrets, unfortunately, in Howard County. Very talented batch of improv students and professionals.
And we have had Sue Kramer on a couple times.
Well,
so yeah.
She knows how to gush about what's improv group. Anyway, but as an outsider to the organization, I'm impressed. And I go as often as I can because they're stunning.
Likewise.
Yeah.
Yes.
They've done poem prompts before. And where did that come from? You read something and they come up with this wonderful skit. They do improv skits. And they're famous. One of their things they're famous for is their Valentine's one. So I'm looking forward to seeing it again. They have a lip sync contest, which is entertaining. Mm-hmm. Anyway, during intermission, my Hoco Palizzo board co-chair cohort, Tara Hart, and I will be at typewriters typing love poems for people in attendance upon command. So if you want a love poem.
I do.
I do.
Sure.
And give you a sample
right
now.
Oh,
yeah, please give us a sample.
This is something, I have a couple of deadlines to promote coming up. Howard Community College has the Muse Literary and Arts publication. If you're a Howard County resident or an HCC student, you can submit to this. It's an annual publication, and for a lot of students, Katie Day, who we talked about it earlier, she got published in that, and now she's working at the NEA and on the way in her career as a writer. The deadline for that is March 1st. I think the Little Patuxent Review deadline is also March 1st. And then immediately, I'm not sure when the show is going to air, but the Columbia Arts Center and Howard County Office of Tourism's have this Blossoms of Hope show coming up at the Columbia Arts Center. The theme is Dancing for Claudia, Movement Through Words and Art, and they are looking for writers, local writers, to submit works about movement. The deadline is the deadline is January 25th, so that's like next Friday or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So dash something off, get that in, and it's a lovely opportunity to see the visual arts right next to the written word.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful show. I love what they do over the years. They change it up a little bit at a time, but that's something definitely to pay attention to. So back to, this is something I had in a couple of muses ago. It's called An Ecstasy of Flowers, and it was an ekphrastic project where I was writing in response to an artwork by Rambusueno, there's a publication called The Leidic Frastic. Without giving too much backstory, the editor pairs visual artists with writers, and they come up with new pieces. Aram was a collage artist who and we talked about lots of flowers and, you know, kind of sexy images in his work. And so we started talking about flowers, how flowers were kind of the pornography of the plant world. And what I wanted to do was have something that was kind of cut up about love and pieced together, so it's kind of collage-like. And I went looking for an image to start with and found a magnolia tree outside Oakland Manor with the petals on the ground in the moonlight. That's where it starts. It's called An Ecstasy of Flowers. It's got a head note from Rumi. Lovers don't finally meet somewhere. They're with each other all along. Part one, Magnolia Moonfall. Night walks steps into a moment of aloneness and contemplation under a magnolia tree, half an outrageous blossom, half in discard, evidence passion-like in orgy strewn haphazard underneath. Petals perfect in disarray, slightly colored with bruise, with moonlight, a landscape of effort and after effort, of connective energy, abandon. It's a different light than candlelit skin, but it's the same moment, two bodies going back to being themselves, the moment of as close as already drifting, lovemaking, now as much laundry as moonlight. Yet the tree, the bodies, though fading, glow. Two, force majeure. The air is full of you, the window fog bright. With it, the candle shares our skin, glistening. The sweat silver that marks and joins the space of each of us crackles, fused. We've forgotten how to sound words, just the heart beating thrum, the heft of unison, the breath aura. Neither of us have any awareness and will bear no witness. Moonlight pours from your mouth. Moths line the inside of my eyes, aching for the cavern of your throat. The vines of my arms tangle to the wall of your soul. The room fills with flowers already echoing what the birdsong morning will bring. Three, after each little death, mortality returns. Eyes come open in the dark of being. What we were looking for shies from thought. The bones within us settle. We return to separate dreaming, breaths out of canter, the perfumed flower-laden air fallen into invisibility. A bathroom light beacons through the ocean-dark room, looking on emptiness. Skin retakes its statue shape and seems to hold the outer limits of the self. No longer emanating light, the body's earth slides into a soil-dark insomnia, mortality, and it's increasingly your own mind that takes you where you are. Coda, two hands, fingers laced, holding on to this moment, the next, and as much of another, and ever after, as an afternoon will allow. There you go. Happy Valentine's.
Wow. How am I supposed to follow that, Tim? That was absolutely fabulous. So if you can't find something to do between now, and we've taken you all the way to, I believe, St. Patrick's Day and a little beyond, right? Then you just plain can't find it. I do want to actually mention one more thing that I did promise a dear friend that I would promote, and that is good old Singing in the Rain. Singing in the Rain is going to happen at Long Reach High School, February 1st and 2nd, and our very own little star, Jalen Stewart, will be the lead, and there's a cool tap dance routine in there that I choreographed. I'm just saying.
Will it be warm enough for rain?
So please get out, and support. Marla Blasco is the director and a dear friend of Mo and mine as well, so get out and see that. So I feel warmer already after that poem, Tim, I got to tell you.
Hey, the window's a little steamy.
Yeah, I know. All right.
Wait till you get outside.
It's steamy here at Razzle Dazzle Radio. Thanks, Tim, so much for coming on and heating us up.
Pleasure.
Long ago, when people from Galway and the County Mayo and all over Ireland came over to stay and take a